From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Hume. Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed into law the absorption of Crimea into the Russian Federation and amended the country's constitution. The EU and the US say the annexation of Crimea is illegal and have hit Moscow with sanctions over its actions in the region. Tom Barton is in Crimea. He says the area is already changing visibly.
I'm stood here outside the naval headquarters in Simferopol, the regional capital of Crimea, looking at a Russian armoured personnel carrier and soldiers on one gate, and an armoured car and more soldiers on the other. Around them are so-called self-defence battalions. Here, I've just witnessed them tear off some of the Ukrainian state symbols from the front of the base. Russian soldiers, although Moscow denies they're Russian soldiers still, took control of two Ukrainian ships in Sevastopol.
Meanwhile, the European Union and Ukraine have signed a political association agreement in Brussels. It allows for the opening up of trade links between the two sides. The agreement is key in formalising European solidarity with the interim government in Kiev. Turkey's president, Abdullah Gül, has challenged a ban of Twitter that was ordered by Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan on Thursday. The move to ban the microblog service has sparked public condemnation across the country. Mr. Gül, in his apparent evasion of the ban, took to Twitter saying the shutdown was unacceptable. Prime Minister Erdogan has vowed to wipe out the microblog after users posted documents pertaining to alleged corruption in his inner circle. Alexander Christie Miller is a Turkey-based journalist for the Times of London.
Internet users are very used to using software which allows them to bypass this. So you have a situation where even the president and members of the government are still tweeting despite this so-called ban. Having said that, I've spoken to some experts who believe that this is just the first step in what could be a far more comprehensive effort to control internet usage.
The first ever UK prosecutions over female genital mutilation have been announced by officials in London. The Crown Prosecution Service has charged a doctor and one other man with offences relating to FGM. Our UK correspondent Dan Whitehead reports.
The CPS says after looking at evidence from the Metropolitan Police, it will prosecute 31-year-old Dr. Danison Damascena from East London for an alleged offence while working at a hospital in the north of the capital back in 2012. Another man, Hassan Mohammed, has been charged with intentionally encouraging female genital mutilation. The charges have been brought under the FGM Act of 2003, with the charges carrying a maximum prison term of 14 years. Dan Whitehead, London.
From bureaus worldwide. This is FSN. A second day of searching for the missing Malaysian airliner MH370 has concluded without any debris sightings in the southern Indian Ocean. Australian officials say they will resume again on Saturday, with additional vessels joining the search, including Australian Navy ship HMAS Success. Uruguay's president, José Mujica, has agreed to take five Guantanamo inmates as the White House moves to find alternatives to closing the detention centre. Guantanamo originally opened after 9/11 to imprison people linked to the terror attacks on New York's World Trade Center. However, Uruguay's U.S. ambassador, Julissa Reynoso, denies any deal has been made and says they're still discussing the issue. From Washington, Andrea Arenas reports.
President José Mujica said he had accepted the request and would consider the five men as refugees in the country. The Obama administration has promised to free all of the 154 inmates remaining in the camp. Since President Obama took office, the State Department has resettled 43 detainees in 17 countries and has released 38 of them to their countries of origin. Andrea Arenas, Washington.
Around 200,000 missing digital bitcoins on the Tokyo-based Mt. Gox exchange have now been found, but the whereabouts of hundreds of thousands more are still unknown. Our Washington, D.C. correspondent Alice Olstein reports.
The recovered coins, found in a digital wallet the company had thought was empty, are worth about $114 million. But the Tokyo-based exchange is still on the edge of collapse, having declared bankruptcy earlier this year and continuing to battle a class-action lawsuit from individual holders, accusing them of embezzlement and seeking to freeze their executives' U.S. assets. Alice Olstein, Washington.
And that's the latest Feature Story News, Rebecca Hume reporting.